Welcome to the HR Chat Show, one of the world's most downloaded and shared podcasts designed for HR pros, talent execs, tech enthusiasts, and business leaders. For hundreds more episodes and what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.
Welcome to another episode of the HR Chat Show. I'm your host today, Bill Bannum. And joining me on this episode is Max Landry, co-founder and co-CEO over at Pepi, a health app that connects your people to real human experts, giving them the care and answers that they need to take control of their health and bring their best selves to work every day. Pepi's trained practitioners support employees through underserved areas of health that fall through the gaps all too often, such as menopause, fertility, having a baby, women's health, and men's health. And their team says that they offer expertise delivered with time, passion, and empathy, reducing the health worries that cause employees to disengage or even leave employment altogether. Prior to co-founding Pepi, Max was co-founder and chief executive over at a media company called The Conversation UK. Prior to that, he was co-founder and managing director of Paperstone, one of the UK's first online office supply companies. Max, it's my pleasure to welcome you to the show today.
Hello, Bill. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
What I should add, actually, listeners, is Max is basically an American these days. So I understand that Max has got a little baby who was born in the US. So he's got American family, which essentially makes you an American these days. Is that right, Max?
It does. So despite how I sound, I'm now a New Yorker and the proud father of a little American. So yeah, I feel my identity is shifting somewhat to this side of the Atlantic.
Well, congratulations. Beyond my introduction there, why don't you take a couple of minutes, Max, and tell our listeners a bit more about yourself and, of course, the genesis of Pepi.
Thanks for tuning in to the HR Chat Podcast. If you're enjoying this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. And now, back to the conversation.
Interesting. So the genesis of Pepi. Well, really, Pepi started about 5 years ago and was born out of a kind of frustration at being able to get support for specific areas of health that are challenging. For me, the big thing that got this going was my wife and I had our first child. Everything seemed to be going quite normally and, you know, it was challenging, but we were muddling through. And then suddenly one day, my wife stopped being able to breastfeed. And we were just thrown into this really challenging world of, oh my God, we're first-time parents and our child doesn't feed. And it was incredibly stressful. We didn't know what to do. And finally, someone said, get a lactation consultant. So we paid this woman to come actually from Reading to London, where we lived at the time. And within an hour, our problems were kind of solved. And we went from hungry baby, stressed parents, to feeding baby, feeling comfortable, feeling back in control again. And for me, this was just a sort of light bulb moment of everybody needs access to this type of support. And then started a process of, well, how do you deliver it? And this was really how we ended up building Pepi, because we realized quite early on that with healthcare, the big question always becomes who pays for it. And we felt that employers were the most appropriate people to pay for these kind of support services. And that's really how it all began.
Once in a while, an event series is born that shakes things up. It makes you think differently, and it leaves you inspired. That event is Disrupt HR. The format is 14 speakers, 5 minutes each, and slides rotate every 15 seconds. If you're an HR professional, a CEO, a technologist, or a community leader, and you've got something to say about talent, culture, or technology, Disrupt is the place. It's coming soon to a city near you. Learn more at disrupthr.co.
Okay, so you're not the only company out there that does what you do, but I'd love to hear from you. What makes you stand out? What are your USPs? What are those differentiators from your competitors?
Yeah, interesting. We're definitely not the only company that does some of the areas that we focus on. but we were the pioneers in some of these big areas of health. So I think probably we're most well known for our menopause service. So we launched the world's first menopause service for employers about 5 years ago. That service is used by, I think, about 270 of the world's leading employers today. And so in the US where I am, this is now suddenly a topic that's becoming not only top of mind, but kind of culturally significant. It's in the media, and employers are really starting to understand the need to support women going through the menopause. And so this is one area where we're really kind of light years ahead of anywhere else or anyone else, because we've been doing it for 5 years and really have a lot of experience in that space. One of the things we do that I think is quite rare, really, although it sounds pretty obvious, is we give our users direct and unlimited access to experts. And that sounds simple, and it sounds obvious, and it sounds like that should be normal, and it should be normal, but it's really, really not. So I'll give you an example again, and menopause is great to illustrate this. So most people will end up having a short meeting with an OBGYN in the United States. The average OBGYN has just 1 hour's training on menopause. So you can see how that's a pretty unfulfilling experience for someone who's really struggling with their menopause support. They have a very short consultation, someone who's had very little training in it. You contrast that to our approach to healthcare. You give someone unlimited access to someone who's had specialist training in women's health, and then further specialist training in menopause, and you give that person unlimited access to that expert. And so what you create is this kind of transformational healthcare experience that also lasts a long time. So something like menopause is a stage of life that goes on for years. And so to have access to someone like that in an unlimited fashion over time really changes the way someone can get help.
You work with some pretty high profile companies. Yeah. I'd love to maybe get some examples from you, a couple of use cases that you're particularly proud of and why.
Do you mean names of companies we work with?
Yeah, in terms of the clients that you work with, I'd love to hear about a couple of those in terms of improvements that you guys have helped them make in terms of the healthcare for their employees.
Absolutely. So, I mean, just in terms of companies we work with, it's really, really broad. I mean, every sector, you know, you pick tech, we work with NVIDIA, Microsoft, Meta. You think of pharma, we work with AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Novartis, Organon, banks, we work with Santander, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo. We work with really all types of employers. The big thing that we see and employers see when they work with us, though, is that by offering this kind of support in the way that I described before, what you see is big changes in the way that employees relate to their organizations. So we're targeting these life stages that have been completely underserved, and we're creating services that give people exactly the support they need. And the effect of that is not only you make that person feel much better, but it changes the way they feel about their employer. And so what's interesting, I'll give you one example. We did a big piece of work with Santander looking at the effect of providing menopause support. And what they found is that 90% of the people that had access to this service changed the way they felt about Santander as their employer because of having access to this support. And that's a phenomenal result. And actually, it's quite hard for companies to do things that make that meaningful change in the way someone's living, and therefore change in the way someone feels about the employer. So this is the kind of effect that supporting these areas can have.
On your website, it says 1 in 6 colleagues will struggle with fertility. I've had personal experiences of that, listeners. I've gone through the IVF process, and it's tough. Max, tell me a bit more about how this can manifest itself in employees. What are some of those detrimental effects of folks who are struggling with fertility, who are hoping to have a family? And of course, how can the support that you guys offer through PEPI improve their lives?
Firstly, Bill, thank you for sharing your that you've been through IVF. My wife and I also have been through multiple rounds of IVF. It's completely unpleasant, and I don't wish it upon anyone. And you know, we were the lucky ones because it worked for us in the end. So it's a really, really challenging area. So this is much more common now than it was, you know, years ago, and for lots of different reasons driving that, not least that we're all settling down much later than we did a generation ago. But our approach here is to try and get ahead of where the problems lie. And I'll just give you one example. So one of the services that we launched, and I think we were the first company in the world to launch this a few years ago, was support for people with endometriosis and PCOS, which stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome. These are conditions that affect huge numbers of women. So for example, 10% of women have endometriosis, 10% of women have PCOS. If you have these conditions, you are much more likely to be having a fertility problem. So let's look at endometriosis. 50% of people that go through IVF have endometriosis. Endometriosis is a significant problem because it takes a long time to diagnose. So in the United States, where we have pretty fabulous healthcare in many respects, the average time to diagnose endometriosis is 10 years. So if you just sort of let that number sit with you for a second, Bill, that's someone going through something that's very, very painful, damaging to their fertility, and on average, it takes 10 years and 20 medical visits for them to get a diagnosis. At PEPI, we can help people diagnose that in a matter of weeks. And so there's a number of really big things that happen there. Firstly, you stop someone going on a 10-year journey of struggle and pain to find out what's wrong with them. Point one. Point two, you can arrest the development of this and preserve or reduce the sort of degradation of someone's fertility. And thirdly, you can put someone in control of what's going on in their body. And this is giving you a real insight, I think, into our sort of view of healthcare. It's that rather than sort of deal with a fertility issue, why don't we go upstream and see if we can start to deal with things before it becomes an issue? And endometriosis is a perfect example of that. So once people start understanding they have endometriosis in their early 20s, it's a completely different, your likelihood of needing fertility support is completely different than if you only discover you've got it when you're trying to have a baby when you're 35 and you're going through IVF.
So just a bit of commentary from me. As we're having this conversation today, Max, I can really tell that you care. Some people, maybe they start HR-based technology companies for the fame, for the wealth. In your case, with what you've shared so far, you genuinely care, and I respect you for all that. So thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Okay, what about those conversations then that your team has with HR departments? Can you tell us a bit about how your folks work with HR teams to help them create actionable strategies to empower their workforces and enable them to navigate some of the obstacles that we've spoken about so far with resilience and hope? Give us a bit of an overview of how you guys come into an organization and you work with HR teams so they can get the most out of PEPI.
Bill, firstly, thank you for saying that. I really do care, and it's not only do I care, but I feel I'm in a very, very privileged position because it's amazing to be able to do something meaningful like we do, where the outcome is just helping lots and lots of people. So it's definitely a great privilege to be able to do that. But thank you for saying that. In terms of how do we work with organizations, we do lots of things. But often the first thing that happens is we do a big event at an organization where we talk about a difficult subject. And this has a kind of transformative effect on both the people in the organization and the organization itself, because it starts conversations. And that just changes the way someone feels in that organization. So you imagine, let's take menopause. It's such a good example. It's so topical. You know, you're someone, you're a woman who's 45. You've been struggling with these symptoms. You don't know what's going on. It feels like everything's becoming difficult. And then suddenly your employer is hosting a big event that says, what is menopause? And for the first time, you feel like, I'm getting insight into what's been going on. And I'm understanding that my employer cares about this. And then my employer is now offering support. You can see how that completely changes the way that that person feels about their employer. And it changes the way that the employer can interact with their colleagues, because they're able to give them support in a much more genuine way. And it really makes everyone feel good.
Okay, thank you very much, Max. Okay, and then obviously the US is clearly a focus for Pepi since your expansion into the market last year. What are some of those key challenges in the US that you want to address? And maybe as part of that, you can tell me more about Pepi's plans over the next 12 to 24 months.
The first thing I'd say, Bill, about launching in the United States is it's incredibly exciting. We've launched here, and we actually started the work to prepare the company here about 18 months ago. So we launched live services in January this year, but the work set up Pepi as a healthcare company in the United States really started back at the end of 2021. And I should just say, we're a healthcare company. We're licensed in all 50 states. That means we have providers in every state. We can prescribe in every state. And it's a big job. So becoming a serious healthcare company in the United States requires a lot of energy, a lot of understanding of the complexities of healthcare in the United States. And it's not something that anyone can just do quickly. That said, once you've gone through that process, you're suddenly in this huge country at a moment of big cultural change. And why I think it's an exciting time to be doing this kind of services in America is you're seeing change happen right in front of you. So I was in the UK a few years ago, as you know, and we launched the world's first menopause service. Now, what we saw at that moment in the UK was a very, very quick transition from menopause being something that no one talks about to suddenly becoming something that people do discuss in the workplace and can get support for. And that change, thankfully, was very, very quick. And in the United States, we're going through this cultural shift now where exactly the same is happening here. And so it's very, very exciting to be a part of that change and to feel like we're contributing to it. And we're also doing the same in other areas. I mentioned endometriosis. We hosted a film last night for a big group of HR leaders in New York. A film called Below the Belt, which I would recommend anyone who's interested in understanding the impact of endometriosis, you know, have a look at it. You can watch it. And we're just seeing all of these issues that are affecting huge groups of people and have been not talked about suddenly coming to the forefront. And it's really, really an exciting time to be able to develop new services to help people deal with these issues.
Max, somehow we're already coming towards the end of this particular interview. I'm not quite sure how. Just a couple more questions for you before we do wrap up. How do you see attitudes in the workplace changing towards health support for women, men, and of course the LGBTQ+ community? So, for example, perhaps you might want to talk a bit more about conversations around menopause, PCOs, fertility. There's so many different facets to this, but give us some more insights around that.
Yeah, I think we're just at this tipping point. And I was describing before as sort of cultural change. And I really think that is the case. And I don't know what's driven it. I think it might be partly to do with the fact that the group of people, and I'm in this group, I'm 43, who are getting to the age now where, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. You know, things feel different now than they did when I was 23. I think that this age group of people is now feeling in the workforce like I can say things, and people are standing up in a way that they didn't. And you could use examples of people going through the menopause and feeling confident enough to say, you know what, I need support. You could use the examples of people from the LGBTQ+ community saying, listen, our needs are different and we want support that addresses our needs. And there's a sort of confidence within society and a confidence within workplaces where people are asking for support in a way that meets them where they are. And I think it's wonderful that so many employers are responding to that. And it's a real example of a win-win situation, because from an employer's point of view, you want to be able to attract the best people, you want to be able to retain the best people, and you want people to be productive and happy when they work for you. And by getting into these underserved areas of health, you can really meet the needs of both the employee and the employer, and you create a win-win situation, which is just ideal and positive for all.
Very good, very good. I've got a million more questions for you, Max. However, our listeners like an episode between 20 and 30 minutes. And that's what our stats show us. So I'm going to wrap up with the usual final question. And that's, how can we connect with you, Max? So maybe you might want to share your LinkedIn. I bet you're super cool and all over places like Instagram and TikTok. And of course, how can they learn more about all of the cool things happening over at Pepi?
Well, the first thing you can do is you can go straight to pepi.health. So that is www.pepi.health. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. My name is Max Landry. I should be easy to find. Landry is L-A-N-D-R-Y. And I'd be delighted to talk to anyone who wants to know more about these areas. And Bill, thank you very much for having me. I've really enjoyed talking to you. And happy Friday.
Yes, we're recording this one on Friday, listeners. Just to add, from the conversation that Max and I had before we hit record, and then what I've learned more about him and the company during this conversation, I think he's a proper gent. He's an Englishman in New York. Check him out. Go for a coffee with him. He's a lovely man. Max, I've enjoyed this conversation. Thank you very much for being my guest on this episode of the HR Chat Show.
Thank you, Bill. Bye-bye.
And listeners, as always, until next time, happy working. And listeners, as always, until next time, and probably with more meaning than many episodes, happy working.
Thanks for listening to the HR Chat Show. If you enjoyed this episode, why not subscribe and listen to some of the hundreds of episodes published by HR Gazette? And remember, for what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.